Good morning, everyone. Yeah. Try to walk around everything here. Okay. As you know, Kevin is joyfully on a cruise. I am jealous. But having been on cruises before, all we could tell him was eat all the food you can. So I like that last song because it says, we are the broken, he is the healer. And I'm sort of going to talk about that today. But first, I need to go over some of Kevin's notes for last week, just in case you weren't here or maybe you missed it, because Kevin really spoke about what the Lord's, it's on his heart. And then I'll go into what I think he wants us to share today. He said in Matthew 28, we are to go to all the world and preach and teach them everything. We're to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, drive out the demons, raise the dead. I still want to do that. But you know, it's being done in the world and not just in third world nations. He says, those things will follow all those that believe. This was my favorite statement of last week. He never modified the assignment. Jesus never modified it. It's the same 2,000 years ago as it is today. We're supposed to use our mouth to proclaim the goodness of God, and then we're to demonstrate it. It's not good enough just to talk about it. We have to be courageous and bold and move into the future. God has called us to do something different. And that's sort of what I'm going to talk about today. We have a call to go out and reach people. So with that being said, how many people did New Year's resolutions? Anybody? Good. I didn't want you to do one. But we don't want to be the same next year as we are today. That's sort of what a New Year's resolution is all about. We want to change. I don't know about you, but where I am with the Lord right here, right today, is not where I want to be in 2017. I want to move on. I want to know something different. I want to have done something different, seen something different. Does anybody know how to turn this light on? Ah, my hero. There, great. Okay. Well, looking forward to 2016, I'm excited because God's got a plan. He's got a plan for this church. But the plan is we got to be courageous and we have to be bold and we have to move forward. I don't want to be stagnant. I want to do what the disciples did. Think about that. Now, a lot of people say, let's look at Peter. We know Peter had some issues. He was a fisherman. He was a little rough around the edges. But Peter walked on water. Think about that. He was human. Now everybody says, well, Jesus did this, and Jesus did that, and Jesus did this. He was Jesus. He was divine. Peter wasn't divine. Peter was a rough fisherman. He was a good old boy. But yet he walked on water. So if he can do it, why can't we? Now the more we learn from the Holy Spirit, the more we can use. Ember has been doing the stuff, as Kevin calls it. But there's more than the stuff. We have got a captive audience. And I'm sort of going to pick on Chris today. So Chris, bear with me. Not my Chris. I have to go home and live with that one so I can pick on somebody else's. But anyways, there are people out in our community without in the world that are hurting. They're hurting physically, emotionally, socially, within their relationships. Jesus has called us to be the healer, to be his mouth, his hands, and his feet. And it takes all of us to do it. There's nothing special about me. I have had the walk. I have been stubborn. I have been resistant. But he's called us all. Now, one of the things that we can do would be, you know, let's talk about a captive audience. Chris did the fireworks. So let's just say Chris and I, they say I can wander around, so here we go. I'm going to pretend to be Chris Gaddy. I'm a little short, but, you know, bear with me.
You don't look good,
eh? Darn, you had to give away my secret. But Chris is out there selling, I'm out there selling fireworks, okay? And he's got a lot of people coming in. And let's just say this gentleman comes up and he wants to buy some fireworks. And I say, hi, how you doing? Did you have a good Christmas?
Yes. Yeah.
Good. Get a lot of nice stuff?
A lot.
I'm glad. You gonna get some fireworks too?
Yeah.
All right. Is the family getting together?
Yeah.
Hmm. By any chance, is your knee hurting you?
Yeah.
Oh. See, this is not scripted. He didn't know I was going to do this to him. Yeah. Really? Hmm. Maybe I could pray for it. Would that be okay with you?
Absolutely.
Now, this is where sometimes they may say, yes, my knee hurts. They will then look at you strangely and say, how did you know that? And then you say, well, you know, sometimes God tells me things or shows me things. It's sort of crazy, isn't it? But God loves us and he wants us healed. Now, other times the person will say, no, my knee doesn't hurt, but boy, my elbow is killing me. Who cares? You got an open door. You have a chance to share with them. They will then know that God cares for them. You don't have to say, God told me that. No, you don't do that. You just play it down because you want them to know that God wants them healed, okay? Thank you, Chris. You're a good sport. I may not be done with you yet. Okay, but what this person has experienced is what we call a word of knowledge. Now, words of knowledge are biblical. So just before anybody thinks that I dreamed all this up, I did not, okay? But words of knowledge are different ways that God uses to let someone know he cares about them. Leanne isn't here right now, but she just stopped me during worship and said, that word you gave me the other week about art has really opened up the door to me. And she was exuberant, she's smiling, she's happy. Now, it wasn't me because I know nothing about her life. But she was saying something, and I complimented her on her, she did a sheep a couple weeks ago. And she started to say, I can't do that, I can't do that. And I said, stop. And out of my mouth come the words, yes, you can. And I shared some stuff with her. Now, I didn't know any of that. And it opened up a door for her to believe that she could do it. Now, Jesus, the woman at the well. Oh, do we have that one there? In John 4:15, we read of Jesus ministering to the Samaritan woman, and he's talking to her and saying, basically, you know, bring your husband to me. And she's going, okay. Of course, she didn't have a husband, so we got a problem here. But he tells her that. Yeah, you haven't had a husband. You have had umpteen more before, and now you're living with some guy. That's a word of knowledge he got from his heavenly Father. Now, not only did it transform her, it transformed her village, which is significant. The impact of that word was transferred from her life to her village. Revival came to that village. Now, the word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation given by the Holy Spirit, which reveals to us facts that we could not know any other way. It's a knowledge received apart from anything else. So, when I pretended to go over to Chris and say, hey, is your knee hurting you? I wouldn't have known that, okay? That's just supernatural. It just comes to us. And we're going to go over and talk about some examples. A word of knowledge is just a fragment. You do not get the person's whole life history. You're only going to get a little tiny section that's going to bring life to them. And I'm going to tell you stories because it's all about the stories that bring restitution. There's your word of knowledge. It's a fragment or a part of God's knowledge. He gives us that peace, okay? It's a knowing that comes to you, and many of you have already done this. Many of you have just said, oh, that's just my imagination. Well, who do you think gave you your imagination? Jesus, God, Holy Spirit. So we need to use that for God's people. That knowing comes. Sometimes, Christians, you're going to receive that word and you're not going to know it and you're going to push it off. Other times, you're going to go, yeah, but I can't do that. Remember last week, Kevin said, where's your Nazareth? Who are you more afraid of, the people you live with, come across, your peers? What are you fearful of? That's what keeps us from doing God's work. Now, in exercising the word of knowledge, we're passing on to others information from the Holy Spirit that he wants them to know at that time. Now, Peter, and if you have your Bibles, let's look up Matthew 16, 16. Matthew 16, 16. And I'm reading, well, this one popped up King James, but it's all the same. Jesus is asking his disciples, who is everybody saying that I am? And in 14, they say, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah, maybe one of the prophets. And he said to them in 15, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter, remember, good old Peter, the good old boy, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, a word of knowledge. Now, a good illustration of this is about a postman. Your postman, it's his job to deliver the mail, okay? He gets a letter and he delivers it. So here I am, if I'm delivering mail, I'm just handing it out to, your name's on it, I hand it to you, your name's on, I'm handing it to you and you. Am I responsible for what's in there, in that letter? No. What's my job? I'm the messenger. I am just delivering, okay? Now, what if I get sidetracked over here talking to John? And I drop the letter, or I think, oh, that's not important to give John the letter. Or I think, oh, I'm going to talk to Joyce for a while. I think I'll come over and see Kathy for a while. And I'm going to come see Kim. Not getting the job done, am I? Okay. The Holy Spirit's got a job for us. We're the messenger. Okay. If he gives me something to share with Chris, once again, I am not responsible for the fragment or the piece that I give him, whatever it is. And it more than likely will mean absolutely nothing to me whatsoever. I give it, I'm done. I did my job. Took me years to learn that, okay? I used to think I had to fix it all, you know, make the problem come, find the solution. Uh-uh. If I get a word for John, I give it, I'm done, okay? The Holy Spirit wants to bring healing and restoration to his people, and this is a way of doing it. Don't get hung up on worrying about what they're going to say, because if it's wrong, it'll just fall to the ground. It won't be a big deal, okay? But if you don't give it, you are stealing someone's healing. Years ago, we were at a camp, and I was talking to my husband, and I'd gotten a word of knowledge, and I didn't give it because, you know what? I was afraid of judgment. Well, what will people think? What if it's wrong? What if nobody responds? So we're having this conversation, and he's sort of chiding me like a nice husband would. Well, behind us are two good friends, Tony and Connie Basso. And I hear Tony say, you got a word of knowledge, and you didn't share it. Now, he wasn't being critical. He was hurt. Jesus took me to the woodshed big time that day, and I realized, oh my selfishness, my concern about me prevented someone else's blessing. I fixed it later that night. But the point being, he said, I would give anything to be healed and someone gets a word of knowledge. So don't get hung up on the solution, okay? So I have some funny stories to tell you. So there's some ways we can receive words of knowledge, okay? But back in Acts 9:11, and you don't need to turn. I think you've heard the story about Ananias. And Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is telling him where to go. This is under Saul's, when he was blind in his conversion. But he tells him in Acts 11, he tells him the name of the man whose house it is, what street, what town, it was Damascus. He tells him everything he needs to know. So Ananias knows exactly where to go. He had this dream. How could he know this unless it was from the Lord? Okay? So the ways you can do this. Now, these are just some of the ways. You know, God is pretty creative. You know, I'll list them for you. You can feel it, see them, read them, think them, say them, dream them, experience them. These are the common ones. Are these the only ones? Of course not. Can there be other ways? Yes. Can they be combined? Absolutely. Okay? So I'm going to talk a little bit about each one of those, okay? If we go to feel it, if you're going to get feel it, a word of knowledge, Kim does this, and I think you've heard Kim do it. Now, for example, before Kim comes to church, she's sort of checking her body out, and all of a sudden she has this tremendous earache. Well, she knows that when she got to church, I didn't have an earache at home, okay? She knows that that's a word of knowledge that God wants to heal somebody. It might be a sensation, a strong emotion, a sharp pain in your body, or a throbbing sensation. Now, you get to be my age, you got to be careful it's not your pain. And you got to make sure that, you know, when you came in, okay, this isn't mine, this is for somebody else, okay? Once, all of a sudden, my foot started hurting. It was like a bone bruise, and I thought, that's not mine, you know? And so I started asking everybody in the family, I said, anybody got a problem with their foot? It feels like a bruise, it felt, you know, like a bone bruise, like you stepped on a rock. And Chris looks at me and goes, that's mine. I said, good, let's pray it away. That's God's way of wanting it to be healed, okay? That's its simplistic form, okay? Now, you might see it. There's another way. You may get a mental picture. Now, once again, we are all wired differently. I am more of a visual person versus a feel-type person like Kim, so I tend to get more pictures. It might be a body part. It could be a heart, a foot, an eye. It'd be a crutch, someone's limping, a cane. You might see an auto accident. And I've got two really fantastic stories to tell you on this one. Some of you have already heard it, so bear with me. When my husband and I were in Cambodia, we were ministering in the upper regions. Now, these people have nothing. They don't have Bibles. Their language really is not that well known. But anyways, it's Khmer. So anyways, the missionaries there had a relationship, and they were ministering to two inmates in the prison, and they were there for life. Now, these young men were maybe 20, and they had both killed somebody, and they had converted and given their life to Jesus, and so the missionaries would go in there. So we had to go in and see the warden first. Now, the warden was Buddhist. He did not like Christians. Least of all, five of us. So we go in and we're sitting at this round table. We're sitting there and we're just trying to listen and find a way to break through his exterior, you know, to get permission. We're going to go into the prison. So we're just chit-chatting back and forth. And all of a sudden, I get a picture I see something. I see a picture of a little girl. Oh, she's about this big, cute little dress on, out in an open field, trees and bushes and grass. That's all. That's all I saw. And I sort of mentioned to our interpreter, and I said, ask him if he has a little girl, because I thought maybe it had to do with one of his children. And so our translator goes, well, you know, do you have any children? And he had 4 or 5 boys. I don't remember how many. And I went, oh. And so the translator said, well, you got a little girl? No, he didn't have a little girl. I went, whoops, missed that one. Okay, no big deal. With that, the warden turns around and says to the translator, ask her why she said that. And so translator tells me, and I said, well, I had this picture of a little girl, and I thought maybe it was his. And so once again, the translation goes back. And once again, the warden was interested now. He said, ask her what she saw. So we explained it. And then later on, you'll learn about how things fall out of your mouth, which unfortunately I do that a lot. You good? I've got a friend. Y'all good? Another one. And out of my mouth says, well, the Lord says you're going to have a little girl. You know, sorry, but that's truly what happened. And so I thought that's one thing you never do. You don't do marriages or births or anything like that. But that was not my intent. That was the Lord. Well, let me tell you, we left Cambodia a couple weeks later, so, you know, it wasn't our problem anymore. And here we left the poor missionaries with this problem. Needless to say, we got to China, and we found out, guess who's pregnant? The warden's wife. We end up coming back home and find out that she had her ultrasound done, and it was a little girl. 9 months later. Now, meanwhile, guess who's got the warden's attention? Now the missionaries are allowed into the prison, not just down the rows. They're in the cells. They are allowing Bibles. They're allowing literacy and education. They're all grouping. There were maybe 5% that were Christian before this. Now we're up to 75%. We're having baptisms. Prison's wide open for the missionaries. This missionary, and of course the little girl was born 9 months later, family was ecstatic. Our warden, Lyle, got transferred to Phnom Penh, which was the capital, where he's in a very influential place. He converted, his wife converted, their whole family converted, as well as her parents, all because of a word. Don't shortchange what can happen. Another one, real quickly, was in a prayer group, and I got a picture of Bibles and Orientals. And there was a man that was transporting Bibles to China. And I just told him what I saw. And all of a sudden, he just, tears are streaming down his face. And I'm thinking, and what do I think? Oh, no, what have I gone and done now? Why do we think the negative? And he says, no, no, tell me more. Tell me what you saw. I said, okay, I saw these Orientals. They're sitting on a big platform, bricks, and they got these little itty-bitty books about this big. Yeah, 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 back and forth. And he's crying, and it's increasing. And I'm going, what? And he said, describe what the book looks like. And I'm going, it wasn't the Bible. It wasn't the Bible. Because you see, in my mind, a Bible looks like this. And so I described it here. I told him what color it was. Out of his back pocket, he pulls. He said, you mean like this? I didn't know about tracks. He was smuggling tracks into China. And what basically the Lord just told him through my picture was, you will be able to smuggle these in. So to me, it meant nothing. To the man from China, it meant everything. So don't shortchange it, okay? You might read it. Now, reading it is a little bit different, okay? And I'm not real familiar with this one. I've only had it happen one time where it may look like a ticker tape or a newspaper headline, something like that. Some people receive them that way. One time, all I saw was the word June, J-U-N-E, and I thought, what does that mean? And the Lord directed me to a person, and I said, does this mean anything to you? Because once again, one word meant nothing. And she looked at me, and she started grinning, and she started smiling. And she said, well, you know, my husband has cancer. He goes back for his follow-up appointment in June, and you just told me he will be healed at that point. And he was. So once again, increasing of the faith. You might think it, or it might be an impression. You may sense in your mind that someone has a particular condition, or that the Holy Spirit has spoken the word to you. It's a mental impression. How many of you were with us when we went to the vineyard? Okay, just a couple. Okay. We, the church, when we were over at Second Baptist, took a little road trip down to the vineyard in Jacksonville, Florida. And Saturday night, we're having a worship service. And I'll never forget it. Scary day for me. It was in a storefront right by the beach, and they ministered to the undesirables, in all honesty. That's what it was. So we're there Saturday night, and worship is going on. Behind me is this guy. He had to be 6'6", 350 if he was an ounce. I mean, he made my Jeff look like a midget. And he had tattoos every inch of his body. And he's right behind me, and I'm going, you know, oh, scared. And with that, I sort of hear, tell him his mother loves him. I went, no, no, no. God, did you not see how big he is? Tell him his mother loves him. I'm going, no way. I mean, he's going to think I'm nuts. So, you know, you can argue with God, and if you've ever done it before, you realize you're going to lose. It's just a matter of how long you pursue it. So finally I went, okay. So I turned around and I said, I have something I'd like to share with you. Now, I didn't say God said, because then he really would have known I was crazy. I said, there's something I'd like to share with you. Are you open to that? He said, yeah, sure. I went, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Sometimes I hear things. He probably thought I was on drugs. And I said, you sure you're okay with this? He was okay, I wasn't. And so I said to him, I said, your mama loves you. Boo-hoo, 6 foot six, 350 pounds, wailing, threw himself on the floor, and I'm going, oh, now what do we do? Now, it didn't mean anything to me. It still doesn't mean anything to me, because that was for him. He got up. I think he left, really. And we didn't see him again the rest of the weekend. I don't know. But those words touched his heart. Don't know what he was running from. Have no idea. Don't know what he was into. Remember, messenger, I'm not responsible for what happens. I just had to give that message. Another impression that's dear to my heart, very dear, is at a church camp one summer, and we're in praise and worship, and Holy Spirit was really heavy that night. You could just feel it. And the speaker said, I just think we need to continue, sort of like what John does with us. And he'll say, you need to continue a little bit longer. And so I did. I mean, we were all worshiping. Tiffany was in front of me. If you were seeing my beautiful daughter, she's almost 6 feet tall. She's gorgeous. Right over here. I'm not 6 feet tall, give or take. You know, I'm not so gorgeous, but that's right, you are. But anyways, we're praying, and the Holy Spirit was all over her. You could just see it. And so I'm sort of standing behind her thinking, in case she falls out in the Spirit, I don't want her to hit the floor, so I'm waiting. And with that, I sort of get this impression, one word, feet. Feet? Okay, feet. Tiffany goes out in the Spirit. I hear the word feet. Okay, we're supposed to pray for her feet. Well, what you don't know is years earlier, like 10 years earlier, Tiffany had had foot surgery that had not gone well. She could no longer run, jump, do the normal things kids could do. It was very painful for her. And she'd had a second surgery that really didn't do a whole lot of good either. So anyways, 10 years from the surgery, we hear the word foot. Her sister comes over, and she went to go lay her hand somewhere else. And I said, no, God said feet. We weren't even thinking. So we prayed for her feet, got up, went and did our thing. She got up, ended up praying for her brother. The next morning, we had adjoining rooms. Kylie was the baby. And I hear blood-curdling screams coming from the room. Well, if you're a grandparent and you hear your daughter screaming from another room, you go running in. I'm thinking, what is wrong with Kylie? I go running in. Tiffany is jumping up and down. She can't jump. Hadn't been able to jump for 10 years. God healed her. So, one word. And she dances now so great for you guys. Okay. Now you can also say things while talking or praying or standing with someone. Unpremeditated words may tumble out of your mouth relating to a condition or something that God wants to heal. Things can be really simple. When I was in Africa, I was doing a demonstration, doing words of knowledge, and what came up was talking about feeling your pain coming in the morning, and I'm doing this with him, and Pastor Monsalvo was right here, and I said, yeah, if I had a pain in my shoulder, and I'm doing all the talk, and he says, pain in the shoulder? Where's this pain in the shoulder? I'm making this up. And I said, well, let's just say I have a pain right here, and it radiates here. And he looks at me. He says, you mean like this? And he demonstrates it. And I'm going, yeah. He says, I got a pain there. What God did was he gave me a word of knowledge and an example before I ever walked in. And here I went and used it. And so he said, will you pray for me? And I went, sure, no problem. He said, no, now. He wanted his healing now. He didn't want to wait till the end of the service. And I'm thinking, you know, you're really ruining my talk. And God's going, you're really ruining what I want to do here. So needless to say, I prayed for him. He got healed. And he was the example. I didn't have to do anything else. God already did the demonstration. So, you know, you still have to go with the flow. And that wasn't quite my plan. You can dream it. You can have a vision. And John was talking about one today. He's sitting on that. He got one he shared with me. You could have a vivid dream. It can be any kind of a problem. It can be a health problem. Had a dream that one of my daughters had a headache. I get up and I call my oldest daughter, Leisha, you got a headache? No, Mom. Why? Talk to you later. Wait a minute. It was a really intense headache. So I called daughter number two, Tiffany, you got a headache? No, Mom, why? Talk to you later. So there's only one daughter left, three. I pick up the phone and I said, Heather, it's about time you called Mom. My head is killing me. Prayed and her headache went away. So, you know, he'll give you things for people, all right? You can experience it. It's similar to dreaming it, but you might have a vivid vision while awake. It may be so strong that you're actually a part of it. Right before Christmas, my husband has... was it called a gator? A green? We call it the green machine. Anyways, yeah, he gets on it and he plays with the grandchildren is what he does. And he jerks and, you know, and the kids love it and they all laugh and giggle. It's the one I got thrown off of and broke my shoulder. So it isn't a toy. But anyways, what I got was someone's going to get hurt. So I go to him. I think it's for him. And I say, no playing. When the kids come for Christmas, someone's going to get hurt. Oh, no, I won't do that. I won't do that. So Heather comes home with her three kids, and I lost track of this. And next thing I know, she comes in the house with Jakey. Jakey got pitched off the green machine. So I gave it to the wrong person. So, you know, don't forget those things. You know, I gave it to this one, but it should have been to the other one, you know. So... quickly, you know, how do they come? You might get these words of knowledge are for people. They're going to come quickly, vague. You may not know who they're for. It may not be for anybody present, the group you're with, okay? It could be for someone you're going to encounter during the week. It may be for a neighbor. It may be for something in the future. And also, unfortunately, it may be for someone in your group, but they won't give it like I didn't that one time. So a lot of times if you give a word and no one responds, we think, oh, well, I was wrong. No. 9 times out of 10, after your session, the person it was for will come up to you and said, you know that word that you gave about, that was for me, but I was too embarrassed to stand up. So, you know, don't judge that, okay? You want to be very specific if you give a word of knowledge. Nothing added, nothing taken away, okay? The good example that Randy Clark always used is he had a word of knowledge about a green hose that someone had gotten hurt. Well, the only green hose that he'd ever seen or known about was a garden hose. So he stretched it a little bit, not knowingly, and said, someone got hurt here by a green garden hose. And nobody responded for the longest time. But Randy felt very sure that someone had been hurt by a green hose. And so finally, a man in the back says, could it have been an hydraulic hose? And Randy goes, well, you know, it didn't say garden. I sort of added that. And that's who it was for. So you want to be careful. It's not yours to fix, so don't elaborate on it, okay? Resist the urge to dismiss it as your imagination. I did that for years, and I didn't know any better. So give it and don't worry about it, all right? Resist that it's just me. You know, like I thought with the deal in Cambodia, I just had a picture. It's just a picture. It's my imagination. No, it changed a nation. So don't do that. Most importantly, don't let fear rob you. Remember what Kevin said last week? Where's your Nazareth? Who are you more afraid of, God or judgment of your neighbor? And if you're like me, judgment of the neighbor usually rises to the surface. Don't let it do that. Be patient, but step out. I did not want to talk to that motorcycle dude. No way. But God wanted that person healed and taken care of. Two quick little examples I want to read to you. In a prayer group one time, we were handing out some pictures, and I said, Lord wants you to have this one, Mary Carolyn. Ooh, honey, no way, that's not for me. That means nothing to me. Well, you and I both know what that means. Right on the mark. So Mary Carolyn, I said, fine, take a different one. So Mary Carolyn said, she wrote me an email about a week after that had happened. She said, I've been dealing with some core issues since I arrived. She had gone to Colorado. And I owe all of you an apology, especially Pat, because I went into my control freak mode, subverted what the Lord told her to do, and may have confused some of you. I went out to the woodshed this morning. In other words, the Lord wanted that piece in her life healed, and it was healed. But if I had not done it, would she have been healed? Another friend was going through a really rough time in her life, and the Lord would occasionally give me words for her. And she was separated from her husband in a divorce process. Everything was going wrong in her life that could go wrong. And so she says to me, she says, I know you are in touch with God to even ask your questions. Your questions or comments to me are sometimes the only way, now hear me out, that I can't even know that God knows me. The only way that I can even know that God knows me. God knew her life. God spoke to her. She's now healed and restored. It took a few years. He may give you other things, a picture, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a healing or anything like that. Dan was a young man that we were mentoring, and he was traveling all over the world. And I got a picture one time. I hadn't heard from Dan maybe in 5 years. And it was a radio station, and you know, I saw a woman there, and I thought he was pretty familiar with her, and I described it, and I just emailed him, and I said, hey, don't know if this will get to you, but this is what I saw, and don't know if it even means anything. Remember, messenger. He said, "Dear Pat, this email has sent chills up and down my spine. It's incredible what God has revealed to you. You have no idea how this dream and image fits into what is happening in my life. How shocking, how exciting. It gives glory to the Lord Jesus. May he get all the glory for all of this. I will update you shortly about the Pacifics. Praise Jesus." Wow, you've blown me away with your ear in tune. Not me, just giving the word, okay? This isn't just me, this is for all of us, okay? Each and every one of you here, you're already doing the stuff. You already have a captive audience, an audience that wants what you've got. And all you got to do is take the message, whatever you hear or see, okay? So what I'd like to do with the tiny bit of time that we have left, I want to do a short prayer. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to get quiet. And I want you to see if you hear anything, feel anything, see anything, any of those, okay? And then I want you to come up, and this is where it's called stepping out. Grab the mic and just say, "This is what I heard, saw, felt, or whatever." If that does apply to anybody within this group, or you know of anybody that does, I would ask that you stand up, because that's your healing, that's your solution, that person. God is sending a message. If for some reason there's no response, don't worry about it. You're the messenger, okay? It could be for later today, later this week, or it could be the person will see you later, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your words today. I thank you for your desire to make your people whole. And Father, I ask for an activation and impartation to these wonderful people that give them the experience of a word of knowledge. Don't let them worry about what it's called, whether it's a see, a hear, or a feel, Father. But let them experience your desire to touch somebody here today.
If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.